Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
Manufacturing companies are constantly working to improve their supply chains with investments in equipment and processes because the pace of business demands it. There are a number of tools you can use to improve your supply chain, and today we're going to talk about one that you may not even be aware of. Receivables insurance. Now, if you listen to the Make It Right podcast number 51, you'll have an understanding of what receivables insurance is. And if you didn't hear that podcast, I encourage you to check it out because Kent Paisley, the Senior Vice President, Accounts Receivable Insurance, Global Crisis Management Division at Allied World Specialty Insurance Company, provided a great overview of how it can help protect and grow your business. So I'm pleased to have Kent join me again today to talk about how receivables insurance can help on the supply chain and protect you from the biggest threat to business today, which is a cyber attack. Kent, thanks again for joining me today. Great to talk to you again.
Janet, it's great to be back and always enjoy these sessions.
Yeah, we get some valuable information out of you, so you're a treasure. Let's talk about how manufacturing companies using RI right now can use it to improve their supply chain.
Yeah, this is becoming kind of one of the more significant changes in the accounts receivable insurance world over the last 5 years, where companies are looking at approaching a bank and an insurance company to help them with their supply chain. So to be able to go to their suppliers and pay the suppliers in short-term payment terms, but then also be able to stretch out their payment to more of a 90, 180-day payment. Mm-hmm. And this is key because it's allowing greater liquidity to suppliers. It's allowing the company that is now the target, which typically would have been a buyer on a credit insurance policy, they're now actually orchestrating it on themselves. And it's allowing for a more efficient use of financing for the early pay of receivables, and then also giving the company the better management of their cash flow because they can stretch their terms out in discussion and being able to pay one source through the bank, and then being able to have the bank disperse to the various suppliers. So this has improved, I think, supply chain, the financing and payment of supply chain significantly, and allowed for what I'd say is a greater liquidity at both the supplier's end and at the buyer's end.
And it's really helping companies upgrade their equipment, because right now companies really are focused on that industry 4.0, and they need to get moving forward to be in an industry 4.0 standard. So this is a key use for receivables insurance, isn't it?
Yeah, most definitely, because it's taking a key asset that will quite often sit there until it gets paid, which can be, again, 30 days, could be 60, could be 180 days, and cash is not coming in. By accelerating that cash back to the suppliers, it allows them to turn that back into the business, create more value, create more inventory. And for the buyer, who's now got a longer payment terms and so on, it's giving them a cash flow that matches their needs, allows them to invest cash back into the business, to grow the business, to keep themselves competitive, and to manage their cash flow in an effective way to be able to continue to grow, develop, and compete.
So the current, with Industry 4.0, manufacturing businesses are super interconnected. There's a lot of high tech involved, and cyber attacks are becoming more and more prevalent. So the statistics are shocking. They hit companies of all sizes. Just in the US alone, half of all small and medium sized businesses experienced a data breach in 2017. I don't even know or want to know what the statistic is for it is in 2018 and 19. 55% experienced a cyber attack. And then a typical firm experiences about 130 security breaches every year. So let's talk about how an RI policy can actually protect against this type of threat.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a very important point here. We've, through some of our marketing research efforts and so on, determined that a customer's, or in this case too, if it's supply chain, a supplier's balance sheet business is potentially at threat through the cyber attack issues. And as a result, you as a buyer in the supply chain, or as an insured selling to a customer, are impacted potentially by their cyber issues. And no one really thought about that other than the fact you think about cyber for yourself. But what happens if your customer or your supplier is impacted by a cyber event that on the supply side breaks down your supply chain? You can't get key components to be able to build your product. So now you have delay, you have issues, you can't sell, you can't generate cash flow. or if you are the seller and your buyer is impacted by a cyber event that results in inability of them to be able to pay, you've now got a significant cash flow crunch because you're not receiving those funds back into the business to be able to put back into the business. So the cyber event is very realistic. I think it's prevalent. I think it's a hot topic on any level of insurance and quite frankly, I think for most senior level executives at a company. But a lot of people don't forget that there's actually this impact that it could result in your supplier not being able to supply or your buyer not being able to pay as a result of a potential cyber event. And it's something that needs to be covered off.
And there have been cases in the past where a cyber attack has actually killed a business, correct? So all of a sudden your customer is not only can't they pay you, they're not ever coming back.
No, and I think that, you know, there has been experiences where it's wiped a company out and they've not been able to get back on their feet. And as a result, you've either lost a key customer or you've lost a key member of the supply chain that you now need to replace. And that's not as easy. Otherwise, you would it wouldn't be a problem, but it isn't. It's you lose a key customer, a key supplier, they're a component of your business and how you do business. It becomes a very difficult process to necessarily replace them.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about cloud services and supply chains, because they are a key target for a cyber attack. So you have talked about some of the impacts, but what are the possible impacts that this is going to have on a business or could potentially have on a business? Something that people probably haven't even thought about.
Certainly. I mean, you know, as we go to the cloud, it's very convenient because you can access your information anywhere. But then to that, you can access your information anywhere. And hackers don't obey by the rule, play by the rules or obey the rules. But that means that they potentially can access this information as well. So while it's a very convenient method, you know, the cloud can also provide some of its issues in terms of the ability of companies to people being able to get access to information that you otherwise wouldn't want released. So it becomes a very important component that needs to be properly managed. But again, to the extent that someone has an issue through a cloud attack or something like that, and it impacts their business, it could result in, you know, their inability to pay because they can't reconcile the AR or the AP, accounts payable, accounts receivable. And it could also be, could have an actual direct financial hit on them. So because the information's out there in a convenient manner, it does also make it a little somewhat, sometimes seemingly more accessible to hackers and something to be considered as you're structuring a cloud-based scenario.
Right. Okay. So we've talked a little bit about this, but in our interconnected world, business risk can arrive suddenly from a distance as far away as your customer's customer. So as a business owner, what do you need to be thinking about? What are the questions you need to ask when considering the types of insurance that you need?
Well, I think, you know, the comment you make of your customer's customer, I think that's one of the first things that someone has to do is evaluate their supply chain and try and understand to the best of their ability where the possible weak links are going to be or where the possible issues are going to be. In today's world, you know, no one entity makes all your components. You're getting components from different entities. So you've got a lot of different suppliers in the mix, and they might be suppliers to one of your suppliers, et cetera, et cetera. You need to evaluate what they are doing in terms of how they're managing their business. That said, that's a daunting task. And so the ability to evaluate a customer, and quite frankly, a lot of companies aren't going to give you the disclosure you might want, but the ability to protect against them of not being able to potentially supply, or in the case of a customer not being able to pay, using an accounts receivable insurance program will give you the protection of the non-payment issue. There's also another insurance out there called cyber insurance, and that will protect you as the first party, more so for your own personal cyber issues, but there are some third-party additions there that can help you. So you need to evaluate where you think those threats are going to come from, and then consult with your insurance broker in terms of the best way to sew those issues up and protect against them. The key being that non-payment risk, accounts receivable, if it's a domestic or foreign market, you've got access there to be able to protect those pieces. And then, as I say, the direct cyber-related incidents, you can protect through a cyber insurance program.
So are you actually seeing the impact of cyber attacks? Can you share a story or two to illustrate the impact?
We have. I mean, we have seen where we've had a couple of scenarios where the insured has been hacked. What we see more often than not is it's delayed their ability to reconcile or to be able to make payment. To date, knock on wood, I have not had personally a scenario where it's wiped the company out, but we have heard some stories where it's significantly impinged smaller companies, especially because they don't have the capital wherewithal to be able to sustain attack and carry on their business. So we have seen that. We've seen where it's cost hundreds of millions of dollars on large organizations where they were attacked, and it's now cost them, you know, nine figures to reconcile and to solve the problem. These are significant hits to cash flow, and it can impact, if it's your supplier or your buyer, that can impact your business in terms of how you operate and how you move forward.
I guess the key thing too is that there is the money factor, how much it might cost to fix it, but there's also the time factor. Like, you don't flip a switch and make everything fixed. I mean, it takes a long time to figure out what the problem is and to get it sorted. So there's a huge time factor that's there as well, isn't there?
Well, and Jana, I think that's a very important comment, because, you know, there's a time factor that you have to reconcile and get things back up to where they were. The problem we have is that so much of manufacturing has gone to a just-in-time type of inventory structure. And as a result, you don't have those, you don't have inventory sitting in the back corner waiting to be deployed to the same extent as you might have years ago. So as a result of this, if it's taking you time to reconcile or your customer to reconcile, you could have a significant gap in your supply, or from your customer standpoint, it could take a while for them to be able to pay you back. And now you're having to borrow money to offset the receivables that they're not able to pay. So it has a significant impact on your cash flow. And while it's time also, use the old adage, time is money. The longer it takes, the more it costs a company to be able to manage through the risk issue.
Right. Okay. So the value of RI, or receivables insurance, is that it protects you from non-payment by a client, even if that non-payment is the result of your customer's issue. So presumably, it's going to protect against a cyber breach that may impact your customers. So I just want to be clear on this point so people really understand how this can work for them.
Sure. And I think, yeah, the key is, as a manufacturer, and I'm selling to my customers, I would put an insurance policy in place that would protect me against the non-payment of my customers. And at some point in the future, there may actually be a product out there that actually protects you against the non-payment of a customer due to a cyber event, narrower field than the broader insurance, but it's something that that is being explored. That said, what it does is the accounts receivable will protect you against the non-payment of your customer. That gives the manufacturer the comfort that if their customer, for whatever reason, is not able to make payment on an accounts receivable product services delivered, they have that protection to know that they will have a receivables payment through the insurance program and be able to manage their cash flow. The key there being, yes, it could be due to a financial issue, it could be due to a, you know, commercial defaults issue, or it could be the cyber attack, which is becoming more and more prevalent, that knocks the customer out and their inability to pay. Whether their inability to pay is a short term, i.e. it takes them 6 months, 9 months to reconcile and finally make payments, or knocks them right out of business, the manufacturer has that protection through insurance against that non-payment and is able to continue in operating their business without having a significant delay or hiccup in their business. It does protect them going forward.
Okay, so if I have an RI insurance policy with a cyber risk coverage as an add-on, what cyber risks are actually covered? What kind of support would my business get in the event of a breach? Let's just be clear on that.
Yeah, and I think it's important too, Jen, because I'm not sure we're at credit insurance with an add-on yet, although I can say we're being exploring that and looking at that. And the add-on will be a insolvency or, you know, non-payment due to insolvency or protracted default as a result of a cyber attack will be something that we'll look to add on to a cyber policy in time. There's nobody specifically offering that right now. That being said, a strategy right now is having a cyber policy, which is typically first party in the event that there's some sort of a hack. Plus, there's a lot of services that go with that cyber insurance policy that can help mitigate beforehand and prepare, but also, too, if you have an event, to help you process through that event. So there's very much a cyber insurance package that's important from the insured standpoint. And then you have the accounts receivable aspect of it. And the accounts receivable, protecting your cash flow, protecting your payments from your customer base and so on. If it is a supply chain, it's protecting against that one vendor or one buyer to the suppliers, making sure that the bank, as they're providing the financing on this, has protection on that customer base, that customer as well. The key there is it's becoming increasingly more understandable that potential of a non-payment issue due to a cyber event of one of your customers, or in the case of a supply chain issue, is becoming an increasing potential risk. And so the market hasn't quite caught up to what the potential risk is yet, i.e. we haven't merged the two policies yet, but there is the ability to protect the two risks and keep them protected and covered. And in time, I think you'll find a more efficient process on that, where we'll have the ability to add some level of accounts receivable insurance to a cyber program in time.
Okay. So beyond a breach, what is the risk of not having receivables insurance and some cyber insurance, particularly, and I'm thinking exclusively really, for management and board members? Like, there's a risk for ignoring this, isn't there?
Yeah, I would say that most definitely. And I think we've seen some examples of that. I can't really mention names, but there is an example over the last year of a company that took a significant hit due to a sizable retailer going bankrupt. And as a result, the board was noted that they, because of the size of the dependency on this one customer, there was a note in the fact that the board should have been looking at this and should have been much more aware. The immediate hit for a company, especially as a public company, is possibly, it can have an impact on its share value. It can have an impact on the value of the company. The more direct issue is it could have an impact on how the company operates and cash flow. As we all know, cash flow is the lifeblood of any company. Cash coming in facilitates raw materials, facilitates paying for operations, et cetera, et cetera. If you don't have cash coming in, you can't pay for all those things. You've got to borrow it elsewhere. Management needs to be looking at how they can most effectively manage that cash flow situation, but also protect it. And I think accounts receivable insurance is a tool that's greatly going to improve their success rate in terms of managing through a potential non-payment issue. And if that non-payment issue is as a result of a customer having a cyber issue, then it's even more of a benefit to them, and more important that they consider it, given the fact that cyber attacks don't seem to be going away anytime soon.
Right. Kent, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, because you always provide some very valuable insights. So thank you very much for your time today.
Jana, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Kent Paisley is Senior Vice President, Accounts Receivable Insurance at the Global Crisis Management Division of Allied World Specialty Insurance Company. He's also a member of the Receivables Insurance Association of Canada. That's our show for this week, and I really hope you learned something. And if you're curious about receivables insurance or credit insurance, you can check out the Make It Right podcast number 51, where Kent outlined what receivables insurance is, provided lots of great detail, and explained how it can help protect and grow your business. I also encourage you to check out receivablesinsurancecanada.com. And I know it says Canada, but this is a website that provides great general information about receivables insurance. And if you have some questions and you're curious, you might want to check that out and watch some of the videos and read some of the information. For more information on the manufacturing industry, please follow the Make It Right podcast on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and subscribe to the podcast at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and YouTube. I'm Janet Eastman. Thanks very much for listening to the Make It Right podcast.